Galatians 2:20, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm going to preach this morning. I won't keep you too long, but I want to preach to you the message I have titled, A Living Dead Man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word of truth. I thank you, Lord, that we can come here into your house. And Lord, we know that your presence is here. We know, Lord God, that we carry that presence in with us because you're always with us. God, we're asking, Lord, that you touch each and every heart here right now. Lord, that you penetrate our hearts with your word of truth. God, I'm asking for the Spirit of the God to move in each and every place, in every heart. God, that we return home today changed because of the word. The water through the word, God, I'm asking that you help me because I'm helpless without your help and the motivation of the Holy Ghost moving through me, Lord, to preach this word. And I'm asking God in these things in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You may be seated. So what does it mean to you to be crucified in Christ? To me, being crucified with Christ means that I am alive in the spirit and I'm dead to sin. My flesh nature is constantly submitted to the authority of Christ. And if I will live that way, I can be called a living dead man. Now think about it just for a moment, a living dead man. In the world today, we don't think too much about death because we think that it's such a finality. But in Christ, sin is supposed to be a finality. It's supposed to be done because when you meet Christ, sin is dead. It's no longer part of your life. It is moved out. It's washed away. Anyone who lives a life of sin has not given their heart and life over to Christ. They are what I am going to call a dead, dead man. Amen. Double dead. Rigor mortis has already set in. Death has consumed them, and there is no hope, no light in their eyes, unless they find the truth of Jesus Christ. There is only one truth. We look at it each and every day, I pray, that there's only truth, that we're going to be judged by this, the word of the living God. When we look back on our lives before we found Christ, it's amazing to see what we thought was living. Now think about that for just a moment. It's amazing to think about the price that we're willing to pay what we thought was life. I know I was. When I was a heathen, oh yeah, even a preacher at one time, I had been a heathen before. And in those days, it was amazing to me what I thought was life. What I thought would fill the void. What I thought was bringing me life. What I thought was going to bring something and change in me. And each and every time that I went out to buy the new thing or do the new thing, I kept trying to fill the void that only got bigger.
Yes.
Because there was no life in anything in this world. There's only life in Christ. It's amazing to me that a dead man will ignore what really matters simply because they feel this sacrifice will be too much.
Yeah.
It's amazing to the world whenever they think, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to pray. I don't want to have to read the Bible. No, you get to pray. You get to read the Bible. You get to go to church. There is a difference because God is God. And we came here together, united, for the same purpose, to glorify the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. There is no other purpose in this world. The enemy continues to try to cloud our minds with whatever's going on to keep us from that very purpose. Because as glorified, if he be lifted up, all men will be drawn unto him. Is that not the purpose? What God is here. But everyone in this place who knows Christ, and I mean truly knows him, you know that you've died to what the world calls living. And when you died, you became more alive than you ever had been before.
Right?
So I want to ask you the question today, how crucified are you? Mm-hmm. This is the same question I ask myself. How crucified I am to Christ this day. Are you a living dead man? God transformed us when we live in him. He takes us from our places of regret to a place of refuge and to a place of restoration. And that is the picture I want to show you today. There are challenging areas in our life that we have to deal with. But one I want to address today is the weight of regret. Each and every one of us, if you walk on this earth any time at all, you're going to have regrets. Regrets are those things that make you feel sorrowful over. Those mistakes that we wish we could change. I think we all know that there's times in life that we want to change it.
Yeah.
A lot of times we spend a whole lot of time thinking about what I would want to change. If we think about it a little bit more, each and every day there's regrets that we think about in the past that we want to change. Even if it was just yesterday. Uh-huh. Even if it's just an hour ago. Sometimes we get in traffic, I wish I wanted to go down this road. Yeah. If I went the other way, it'd been faster. Right. Yes. That's a simple regret. But there's bigger things in our life. We've had those regrets. Perhaps recently we're thinking about what we've done in the last year or two. Maybe in the past, we've had regrets about we didn't go to college. Or maybe the career choice we've made. There's many things that we can have regrets about, but there's spiritual regrets as well. Yes. Yes. Because I didn't seek God at a younger age, I have that regret that I dealt with. Mm-hmm. Now, how do I deal with that regret? There's years that I thought that I wasted and threw away because of the nature of sin. I decided that I didn't want to live for Christ. So I lived with that regret for a while. Every once in a while, the enemy kind of brings that back to me, thinking, you know, if you would have, should have, could have. Mm-hmm. Every one of us deal with that for just a moment in time and in a flash. And what does it do? Does it rattle around in our brain or do we let it settle in? The enemy wants us to regret even being alive. Every decision we make, to believe his lies that it's not going to get any better, that we're not going anywhere, nothing's going to change for us. You'll never overcome the past. You'll never beat that addiction. But I'm here to tell you that Christ has a way. Yes. There is a change.
Yes. Yes.
When we allow this to happen, this is what the lies of the enemy binds us to those things. This is when discouragement comes. Discouragement comes from the root word courage. Their prefix, dis, means opposite of. Discouragement is the opposite of courage. Mm-hmm. You ever think about that? Being discouraged is the opposite of courage. One of the first things that God said to Joshua when he replaced Moses as the leader of the Israelites was, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Have I not commanded you to be strong and of the good courage, to have courage, because he knows the enemy wants to discourage us to have no courage to go forward. No courage to do what he's called upon us to do. Joshua's response to that wasn't, God, I regret that I'm not Moses. Mm-hmm. There's too many times that we regret we're not someone else because we're not eloquent in our speech. We're not that kind of preacher. We're not that kind of worker. We're not that kind of person. Oftentimes, the enemy wants to throw these things up, these blinds. Well, you're not so-and-so. You can't do what they can do.
Yeah.
No, but you can do what God said you can do.
Yeah.
If you walk in the place that God has you, you will do great and mighty things for his kingdom. But instead, Joshua responded as a living dead man and immediately began to do what God commanded. When we have discouragement come in our lives, what God commanded starts to be pushed back because discouragement comes up to the top. We focus on being discouraged instead of the command. And so we don't realize that we're actually disobeying what God is trying to get us to do. The discouragement that regret can bring with it has the power to paralyze what God wants to do through you. There's no flow of the Spirit. The discouragement keeps us from the truth of where God wants to take us. A living dead man will walk in courage and power of the Spirit of Christ. Regret is not something new to humanity. It is not a new battle for the believer. Each and every day you may have discouragements or regrets of life that we may have to deal with. But how we deal with it is the purpose of what God wants us to do. Look at Peter. In the Word of God, Peter has his regrets. This doesn't just happen. Peter's regret started with pride. We see the slow decline of Peter's regret when he rebuked Jesus after Jesus started teaching of the sufferings and rejections that Jesus himself would endure as well as his death and resurrection. You find that in Mark 8, 31 through 32. After Peter's rebuke of Jesus, Jesus would wound up rebuking him because he did not have the mind of God's interest. This is when Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." We have also seen that just hours before when Jesus predicted that Peter would be sifted by Satan, Peter protested that he would follow Jesus to prison and death. in Luke 22 and 33. Peter directly contradicted Jesus' word because it was a hard thing to submit to. We are all inclined to do what Peter did, say in a prideful way, I will stick with Jesus no matter what the cost. But when we slip up, that's when the enemy comes in and regret follows. Out of pride, there comes an avenue. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12 tells us, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Peter believed in his own commitment more than he believed in the word of the Lord. This is told us in Luke 22:31-33. The Gospel of Mark further showed Peter's pride in Mark 4:29. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Peter was blind to his own pride and self-confidence. One preacher said this, over-reliance on ourselves leads us to put ourselves in the way of temptations, which we would be wise to avoid. Of course, this leads to regret. Look how the enemy builds the blocks for us to stumble on. Even though it's hidden, it's pride in itself when it's revealed. It didn't just happen with Peter. It happened step by step. By what came out of his mouth, he was prideful and boisterous. He thought he was right. He thought he was doing right, but he wasn't listening to what Christ was saying. He had his own commitment. His commitment was that me, it all came back to himself, his pride. The pain of regret can lead us to decisions that we would not otherwise make. Like Judas, the regret of taking money in exchange for Jesus was so much that he went out and hung himself. No one normally would go out and commit suicide. But with regret, the enemy continues to make it magnify until it seems like it's not to be overcame. But through Christ, it can be.
Yes, it is.
But to a living dead man, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. After the Spirit is the key. How crucified are you? Are you struggling with regret over things that you cannot change? You cannot go back and change the past. But I know a Savior who can wash the regret away.
Yes, amen.
A Savior that washes everything away. All those things that keep coming past and coming back from us from the past to our mind each and every day that I wish I could have done. I don't know how many times I've thought about it, and I've sat there, and I've sat on even on my couch, and instantly it comes to your mind.
Right.
Regrets of what I wish I could have done.
Yeah.
I wish I'd have done it this way. I wish I would have, and we get bound in wasted time. And I'm going to say wasted time because when that time is gone, it's no longer. There's no redeeming that time, but there is redeeming in Christ that He is the Redeemer of time. He's the one that can make something change when we cannot change it.
Yes.
Those things that we are seeking should be a kingdom oriented for eternity's sake, not for the world.
Yeah.
One day, this world will burn. Everything in it. There will be nothing left. Purged of all sin and all things. But your soul will remain.
Hallelujah.
One place or another. We're going to be in heaven with Him or the other.
Yeah.
How crucified are you? Are you struggling with these things? Each and every day we tend to want to do better. We tend to not want to have regrets. So we try to make better decisions. It's usually I is the problem.
Yeah.
I know it's with me. I'll throw myself in front of the bus. It's okay. I know everybody here makes good decisions. But me, I tend to sometimes put I in my decision making instead of we when I talk about Christ.
Yeah.
Every decision I make and you make should be through Christ for that purpose. He makes us alive who offers a refuge from our regrets. A refuge is a shelter. Psalms 147 and 3 says, He healeth the brokenhearted and bindeth up their wounds. Proverbs 18 and 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe.
Yes.
Oftentimes we run to refuge when we are in a storm. Doesn't matter what kind of storm it is, big storm, little storm, we look for refuge. We look for something to shield us from it. whether it be from the rain or hail or anything else that's coming against us, we tend to run to a place. We don't want to be on the roads. We want to be in a house. We want to be on the lower level. We want to be somewhere we feel safe. A refuge is a place of rest. It's a place of protection and safety and healing. Even if you did wrong, a living dead man knows that if you run to the refuge, you have opportunity to live.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
A refuge is a season of time. Mm-hmm. Think about it. God established cities of refuge in the Old Testament during the time of Mosaic law. These cities were to be easily reached when a man or woman had broken the law. If they were caught outside of that city refuge before a certain amount of time was up, they could be punished for what they had done. But if they had spent the time they were supposed to spend in the refuge, they could be restored back to their homes. Think about it. When David went to the cave, he's seeking refuge from Saul when he was trying to hunt him down to kill him. Oftentimes, people tend to become a refugee in the place of refuge and not go to the place of restoration. Israel took refuge in Egypt during Joseph's time, but that wasn't the promised land where they would stay. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
We wasn't ever supposed to stay in that place. There is a place of restoration. Just because we may be in a refuge right now, we're trying to keep ourselves from the storm. Maybe we're going through some things that we don't understand. Maybe we don't hear it. Maybe we don't see it right now. But God is with us. Even in that refuge time, he is bringing us through a place of restoration to him. There is a purpose that's not to stay as a refugee.
Amen.
Noah and the ark was never meant to stay in the ark. When the door closed, the eight were saved. He was never going to stay on the water when it was flowing. It was going to eventually go away and he would walk on dry ground again.
Right.
It was never supposed to be forever.
Yeah.
Because God was going to restore.
Mm-hmm.
We see the movies of the hero saving the damsel from harm. And at the end of the movie, we see them ride off in the sunset. You ever think about that? You picture that? Jesus is our refuge and salvation. And one day, the eastern sky is going to split. And he will come back to take us to live back with him in heaven. Are you looking for that day? That day of redemption. That we will be restored back to him. How crucified are you? Are you running to the refuge? Because God wants to take you from regret through the refuge to restoration.
Yes, sir.
Christ, his purpose, the plan of salvation is all because God wants what is his restored back to him.
Amen.
He has no desire for his creation to be living unable to bring glory to him because of the regrets of the past. If you ever think about it, if you sit there and spend so much time in regret and discouragement, what happens? There's nothing glorifying God from the vessel that he created. It's spent all of its time. If you're not glorifying God, who are you glorifying?
Mm-hmm.
You ever think about that? When we stumble, when we fail, who do we tend to go to? We want to go to Christ, but too many times we have regret that will keep us from running back to him because I'm a failure over and over and over. But God is there with his hand. It's not shortened. They cannot reach where we may be, but yet we tend to stand in that regret place.
Right.
Yes.
Perhaps you may be in the refuge from the storm and you don't know where to go from there. Maybe you're staying there waiting to be restored. The psalmist David said, even when the enemy was all around him, God set a table for him and restored his soul. It doesn't matter what the past is. It matters that God of all creation is for you.
Yes.
He will redeem us from the which is trying to destroy us.
He is.
We have to trust in that. God made a way for us to be living dead men in the world. You don't have to keep on trying to live a life of sorrow and regret. God did not create you or I to live as a dead man.
Uh-huh.
There's a higher purpose.
Yes.
As he created this whole world for his glory, and man, when he fell, was not his purpose. But he made a way in the foundation of the earth for redemption of his children. You and I, there's a purpose for us to be redeemed back to him. First John 5 and 4 says, he that is born of God overcomes the world. What a hope we have in Jesus. A living dead man can walk through the world without being consumed by it. A living dead man can have joy and peace restored to him. First Corinthians 15 and 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Yes, sir.
In Christ Jesus we are alive. God can restore what the regrets have eaten away. In Joel 2 and 25, and I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. No matter what, God can. No matter what you're dealing with, whatever the grist trying to eat away at your life, whatever your past may be, God can restore and make it right. 2 Kings 8 and 6, we see the Shunammite woman. She is a picture of restoration, looks like. The son was restored to life. And also, at a later point, during the famine, her home was restored back into her. How great is our God? How much can he do? We're not looking at the Bible as just stories. This is truth of the past to show us what our future could be. If we walk in, honor God, and trust in his ways, then we can overcome our regrets. Job 42 and 10, his captivity was stopped when he prayed for his friends. The Lord restored him after he prayed for the ones who had offended him. God will give you a refuge. He will be your refuge. But if you so can be restored to him, that is the purpose, is to be restored back unto him. This world has nothing but death to offer. And if you, even as a child of God, allow this world to have too big of a place in your life, you will begin to remove those living sacrifices from the altar of God that you once laid down. Even those things that we thought we laid down, regret oftentimes makes us pick those things back up. And when you do that, regret starts to weigh you down to the point that condemnation stops you from being the vessel for God that he wants you to be. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Yes.
And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So I ask you this morning, as we stand in the position of God. I said I would keep you long, but our purpose is this. How crucified are you? God is in the reconciling business. Would you allow him to? Would you allow him to? No matter where you are, every eye closed, every head bowed. If you are here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, he is here today to reconcile you to him. Saints, let's pray. Pray for those, if there's any in this room who don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they would be drawn by the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Believe the Spirit is moving in this house, that anyone that's lost, they would not leave this house lost. But there is a time of reconciliation to Christ Jesus. For the purpose of our lives is greater than what we know. That we don't have to stay in that place of regret. Be bound by sin, by uplifted hand, anyone in the house that wants to know Christ, your Lord and Savior. Hold just a moment. Let the Spirit work.